Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 15, reading verse 4, and then picking up at verse 8. Jesus is speaking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." And verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Heavenly Father, I ask for those listening that you would help them. Lord, we know that you're in heaven and you look down upon us and that you love us. We know that you love us because you sent your Son Jesus to die for us. We know that you care for us, Lord, and look after us. And those listening to me, Lord, help them. Whatever struggles they have, please be with them in their struggles. Whatever difficulties, Lord, strengthen them and comfort them. Lord, help me to preach what I believe you've given me today. And Lord, we carefully give you the credit for any good that this program ever does. In the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before I get into the message today, I'd like to talk a little bit about Haiti. If you've listened to this program any length of time, you know that I do ministry down there. I'm somewhat of a missionary evangelist to that country and to those people. I first started going to Haiti 15 years ago, in December of 93. And I made a few trips. Actually, in December of last year, just a couple of months ago, was my fifth trip. And I came to you in the months leading up to that trip, telling you what I would be doing down there. I've got a newsletter that I put out infrequently that detailed some of these things, some of the people that I would meet, some of the places that I would go. And I came after I got back from the trip and gave a report, essentially, telling what I was able to do and what I wasn't. And even though I don't mention Haiti all the time, I can tell you that most of the time I'm thinking about it, about the people there, about the ministry that we have there. About a month before I left, thinking about the different things that I would do, I began to get a sense from the Lord, I believe, that this trip would be about making contact with the people that I knew from before. The last time I had spent any length of time in Port-au-Prince itself was 15 years ago. I'd been a couple of times since then, in 2000 and I think 2004, but mainly we used Port-au-Prince as a jumping-off point, and then we went to La Gombrie and Montagnac, and you've heard me talk about these places before. But in December, when I went, like I said, I felt the Lord wanted me to make contact with the people that I had ministered with before to see if anyone was still there. And it turns out Pastor Samuel was, and I wasn't able to get in touch with Pastor Simon. Now, I did meet Mona Avril, who's a pastor's wife. They had left their church in the Northeast, in New York, New Jersey, I forget. They resigned their pastorate and were moving to Haiti, moving to Port-au-Prince, what have you. They actually live quite near the airport. And they wanted to give their lives serving the people of Haiti. I was able to preach in their church one time, and they've invited me back, and I'm going to get back to that in just a little bit. This trip was a very hard trip, a very difficult trip. I didn't expect to spend most of my time in the hotel. I was able to pray and what have you, was able to make good use of the time, but I didn't expect to spend most of my time there. It was a very difficult time for me. It's a difficult life. Just trying to find something to eat for lunch many times is a big ordeal. I spent about a week and a half trying to find Brother Lucian. And finally we did. Finally I was able to meet up with him. And I preached in his church one night and spent, I guess, about 24 hours with him, I guess. He had picked me up that one morning, and we went to preach in his church. Then we went back to the orphanage, and I spent the night there. And then he brought me back to the hotel. And again, he's invited me to return to help him in his ministry. But God has given me a vision. In fact, 15 years ago, I believe that he put it in my heart to minister down there. But there's a number of things that I believe the Lord laid upon my heart to do. Obviously, I'm an evangelist. I'm a teacher of the Word of God. So it's very easy for me to preach in churches, to hold a mini revival or something. One of the things that the Haitians do is perhaps hold a yearly convention or a conference or something. So preaching in churches here and there, preaching revivals, preaching in the conferences, these are obviously things that I'm able to do and have done and would like to continue to do. Another thing that he put upon my heart, and again, this was 15 years ago. The deacons, the pastors, the Sunday school teachers, whatever, they do the best they can with whatever teaching that they have. And there's a bit of teaching down there. There's a bit of instruction. There's a few materials that they can use to study from, what have you. But one of the things that God put it upon my heart to try to do was to start some kind of Bible college or Bible school or something. And like I said, that was 15 years ago that the Lord revealed that to me. And I've been, most of the time, unable to do anything about it, not having the money to even make a trip to Haiti for a number of years. But continuing to pray and believe him that he would do what I believe he said that he wanted me to do. So in conversations with Mona Avril, in conversations with Brother Lucian, and also Brother Samuel, this vision is still alive. This goal that I have, that I believe the Lord placed in me, these other people share. If they're church leaders, if they're bishops, or whatever term you want to use, and they've started several churches here and there in the countryside or something, they have deacons, they have junior pastors or associates that need to be taught. And they, like me, would like to see them helped. So these ministers that I know, they share a common vision, a common desire, a common burden to provide some sort of instruction for those in the ministry or entering the ministry or something. Now, I don't know if I could do what I originally planned, which would be to start a Bible college meeting, let's say 5 days a week or something, like a regular school. I don't see at this point how that's possible. But one thing that we discussed and one thing that's possible is that if I could go once or maybe twice a year and gather the deacons or the junior pastors or something together for a week and to teach them kind of a seminar or something so that at least we'll be making some headway. And I'll ask you to pray with me that God would help us to do that. I know that it's His will for ministers to be trained. I know that it's His will for ministers after being trained to be able to go out and minister, to pastor, to evangelize, or what have you. Please pray with me and the pastors that I associate with that we would be able to start something like that, some sort of extension course or whatever term you want to use, a seminar or what have you. Now, I've been invited to go to Haiti this summer in July. And also there's a trip perhaps next January that I'd very much like to go on. And I'm asking you to pray with me that the things that are in my heart to do, that God would help us to do these things, that He would fill our mouths with what to say, that He would help us to set up the Bible school or something. But I do ask your prayers to do this. The last time I went in December, I spent about $1,700 for 2 weeks, and I honestly thought that was a bit high. I stayed in the hotel, like I said, more than I wanted to do so. When I stay in a pastor's home or something, it's basically for free. I think that I can do a trip for a week and a half or 2 weeks for less than that, perhaps maybe $1,200 or $1,500 for the trip. And in addition to your prayers, I'm asking perhaps that some of you would consider supporting me financially as I try to do the Lord's work in the nation of Haiti. Now let's take a look at the passage that we're studying today. Again, John chapter 15, starting in verse 9. He says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Certainly love is a topic that many have preached on. And we can look at John 3:16 and know that God loved the world and loved the sinner. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." Now, I thought John 3:16 said that God loves us regardless, that He loves the sinner, let alone the Christian. But then He says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." And again, we touched on this a little bit last time. But He says, "Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." Now we know that Jesus was obedient, that He did what the Bible said, He did what the Father said, and He was obedient unto death, we said last time. And He did so because He loved us, but also because He loved His Father. And as we are obedient, we see Jesus' example that He was a perfect servant, a perfect follower of the Father. We should take His example, and we should abide in God's love. Verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might remain full." And then He says in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you." So we see a relationship between us and the Lord, that we should obey the Lord, but also a relationship to our fellow man. Certainly we should love the sinner. Certainly we should seek and save that which is lost. But He's talking to His disciples, and He says that the disciples, that's you and me, should love one another. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Then He goes further and says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus proved His perfect love for us because He did exactly that. He went to the cross for us. But we're to love our brother with the same kind of love, the same kind of love that Jesus had when He laid His life down for us, His friends. I thought we were His disciples. I thought we were God's servants. God is divine. We are just mere men. Yet He laid His life down for His friends. Verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And we've seen this before. We've seen the idea that God, although we are in His love, because He's God and He loves all, if we obey Him, then we're pleasing to Him. And again, there's that special relationship that we have. But He calls us friends. He calls us friends. If we do His commandments, we're truly a friend to Jesus. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And again, there's that relationship. There's the idea that God brings us into His confidence and shows us things from perhaps His treasure house or something. And certainly the idea that He's revealing to His disciples that, hey, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise from the dead, and I'm going to send the Spirit to be with you. He's revealing these things as a friend. Verse 16 and 17, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. He starts out this chapter saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Then he begins to talk about bearing fruit. And we should bear fruit. That's God's will for us. And part of the idea of bearing fruit, there's the promise that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. But also with that, these things have I commanded you, that you love one another. If I had time, I would perhaps turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter on love, the chapter on agape love. And we should remember to love our brothers. Maybe they go to a different church, maybe they have perhaps a little bit different doctrine, what have you. But if they're born again, and you're born again, then you are brothers. And all doctrinal differences. Now, doctrine is important, certainly. If you listen to this program, you've heard me preach doctrine every time I've been on. Doctrine is important. But we should love our brother, regardless. We should care for our brother. Now, that's not to say that we should love at the expense of truth. I'm certainly not saying that at all, but we should remember that His commandment is to love our brother. Now there's something in this verse I just read that I'd like to talk about. In verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. There's the idea in some circles that God preordains everything that happens. There's the idea, again, in some churches, that God preordains or decides ahead of time who gets to be saved and who gets to be lost. And I believe the Bible teaches that is incorrect. And I'd like to show, again, from the Scriptures, why I believe it's incorrect. First, I'd like to look at this verse. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. God has a plan. He says, I've chosen you, ordained you, what have you, that you should go out, make disciples, bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. Our job is to go out and make disciples. And that's God's plan for us. If we're going to be Christians, if we're going to follow Him, we need to be about the Father's business. We need to go and make disciples. Fine, I go to Haiti. Maybe you can go across the street and make disciples. That's God's plan. But again, there's this idea of predestination. The last chapter in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, Come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Do you hear? Do you hear the word of God? Do you hear the gospel call? Come. Are you thirsty? Is your soul parched like the woman at the well? Come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, not just a few, not just the elect, not just a certain segment of the world, but for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And verse 18, He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Part of God's plan, yes, we should bear fruit. We should make disciples bear fruit. But God's plan in sending Christ is that all men through him might be saved. If you're listening to me, you can be saved. God loves you. God cares about you. God wants you to follow him. And we read in Revelation, if you hear, come. Heed the message and come. God has something for you. And he will show his love to you. He will let you taste of the water of life, which is the Holy Spirit. It'll be in you, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. If you hear, come. You see, it's your choice to follow God or to reject him. You have a choice. Man's problem is sin. And sin separates us from God. And we can talk about Genesis. We can talk about the fall. We understand that story. The problem is sin. We have to deal somehow with the problem of sin. And God did that when he sent his Son Jesus to die in your place. The wages of sin is death. You deserve to die. I deserve to die for my sins and you for yours. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. God has a free gift if you'll choose to take it. In Ezekiel chapter 3, and again he says the same thing in Ezekiel chapter 18, and again he says it in chapter 33. The same idea, the same message, three times, three separate chapters in the book of Ezekiel. And we could go to some of the other prophets, maybe something in the New Testament that will back up this same idea. But I'd like to read just a few verses here in Ezekiel chapter 3. He says to the prophet, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. That's our call as ministers of the gospel. That's our call. We're to hear God's word. We're to read the Bible, get a message from him, perhaps, be convicted to win the lost. Hear the word at God's mouth and give sinners warning from God. Paul, I believe, said, We beseech you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. But he says here in verse 18, When I say to the wicked, Thou shalt surely die. And certainly, if a person is a sinner, he'll die in his sins. You must be saved to escape hell. When I say to the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked, from his wicked way to save his life and his soul. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And that's a charge to the minister, to preach the gospel, to do what God said, to gather in the harvest. Paul said, how will they hear without a preacher? The preacher must be sent. But his blood will I require at thine hand. That's a solemn charge. We need to be about the Father's business. The souls of sinners depend upon it. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. The gift of God is free. You can come, as we read. But it's the minister's job, the preacher's job, the evangelist's job, the pastor's job, what have you, to do what he can to win the lost, to go into the world and make disciples, to go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.